Welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, recovery coach professional. Do you love food, alcohol, drugs, sex, social media, cigarettes, or gambling a little too much? The traditional narrative says that addiction to these vices is the problem. The truth is, they are just symptoms. This hit show takes you from recovery to your ultimate life as my special guests and I help you discover how underneath every vice is the addiction to the suffering that developed due to unhealed trauma. So what can you do? Hungry for Answers provides groundbreaking, proven solutions from my best-selling spiritual book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. It's time to stop suffering and start living your ultimate life. You have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. Hungry for Answers starts now. Hello, this is Robin Clare, and welcome to Hungry for Answers. I'm here today with Elizabeth Hill, the publisher of Greenheart Living, and we're going to talk about the concept of surrendering your story. And so the reason why we started talking about this year is every year on New Year's, I do a meditation and I ask my divine source, what would you like me to learn this year? And this year, the divine said to me, surrender your story. And I said, oh, which story? And they said, every story. All your stories. And I just started laughing because I started to think about, wow, I have a lot of stories. You know, I have the story about my childhood, about my relationships, about my work, about my health, about my addiction. And so I started talking with Liz about the surrender your story, and she had goosebumps about it, and it became a conversation for this year, and then we'll talk about how we're collaborating on that. But in the meantime, let's welcome Elizabeth Hill, Liz, as I call her, to the show. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Robin. It's great to see you.
Thank you. So let's talk about what are our stories from your perspective, Liz, and where do they come from?
Yes. So our stories are often things, they can be things that are traumatic events or things that we've been through. Often we think of things that have happened to us in our life as becoming our stories and defining who we are. Sometimes it can be stories that we think of our childhood or of who we are as people. And those are stories that often we relate to them as very real and true, and they might not always be as real and true as we think, or we can release them and they can transmute to something else. So that's why I got the goosebumps when you said it. I really did. I went, oh, we have to do something with this.
With the stories, right? And they can also come from society, right? Mm-hmm. Not just about our own experience. If we've grown up in a particular ethnic community, we have a certain way that we're supposed to be in the world. And whether we agree or not, there's that pressure. There's the stories that we get from what our parents want for us. Mm-hmm. Right? Like what their expectations are. And then, you know, we also get our own stories based on trauma that we went through as children, teens, and adults. And so this trauma is very real. And what's interesting for me is I've dug deep into my trauma through traditional therapy and also spiritual pursuits, is that sometimes something's a trauma and someone else might look at it and say, what the heck, right? Like, what's the big deal about that? That doesn't seem like a big deal. So I'll give you a cute little example. I was with my three cousins and my two brothers, and my dad had just washed his car. And so somebody put their little handprint on the car, and he lined us all up, and we all had to put our hand up against the car handprint to determine who put their hand on the car. And mine was the closest, so I was accused of putting my little handprint on the car. And my mom tells me that I screamed until into the next day. I didn't do it. You don't believe me. You're calling me a liar. Like, it was like all these things I kept shouting at my dad. You have to trust me when I say what, if I did something or I didn't. It was like, I think I was preparing for now in my life, you know, just helping other people to release their trauma. But it was traumatizing to be accused of something that I didn't do, and then have a very important person in my life, my father, not believe me, and then have five other people, my peers, my two brothers and my cousins, not stand up for me and say, wait, I did that. Like, somebody let me get away with that punishment. You know, I mean, somebody got away with it and it wasn't me. And so you can see how when we have a trauma from childhood, now there's obviously very more recognizable trauma, you know, that we would say, oh yeah, that's a trauma. But there's these traumas too. But if you, in either case, if you don't heal these traumas, whatever, whether they're viewed by society as significant or not, if you don't heal them, then you start to suffer and suffer from them. And this suffering is what we're carrying forward with us throughout our lives. And this is what we need to surrender. So suffering, in Feast and Famine, my book about recovery from addiction, you know, and this has been attributed to many spiritual teachers, this phrase, pain is inevitable and suffering is an option. But I'm not quite sure we know that suffering is an option. I don't think so. I think we think it's part of pain. And so for a very long time, we're suffering through this trauma. And then we get the opportunity to surrender it. But we'll get into surrender next. But when you think of suffering, Liz, what do you think of with the word suffering, and what does it feel like to you, and how have you maybe seen that in your own life?
Yeah, I've done a lot of I've practiced and played with this in my life around the pain and the suffering. And suffering, I think, is around our thoughts around it, right? So the pain is inevitable. I mean, there, as we learn to walk, we fall, right? That is part of our existence in growing. We all go through things where we will feel, whether it's a physical pain or an emotional pain. And the suffering is the thoughts that we attach to it, or the meaning that we attach to it, just like with your father, right? So when with the handprints on the car, right? So the meaning that you attach to that, about what it meant about your father not believing you, right? If someone didn't attach that thought, it's like, big deal. That wasn't me. What do you mean? Right? So it is that suffering is the meaning that we attach to something.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And and that's great. So what does it really mean to surrender your story? So let's first define surrender. We define what people's stories are, right? The stories are how you perceive yourself, right? Surrender, to me, is when you really give it up. Like when you're choosing, I am not going to do this anymore, and this could be anything, right? Otherwise, I call it wishful thinking. And wishful thinking is not surrender. I wish this would go away. I wish I knew how to stop. I wish. Wishing is not good, is because it's not strong enough, right? And it leaves an out for you to continue to suffer. So So surrender to me is when you really, and you know, listeners, like, you know, when you've surrendered something, you know, when enough is enough, and that you're going to do everything you can to stay in a place of surrender. What do you think about surrender, Liz?
Yeah, I think there is definitely an element to giving it up. I think surrender, I think of, there is an acceptance of something. It might be that something is beyond you. It might be that, okay, it's time to change everything and to release this. I think of surrender as, okay, I got to bring in something else to help me with this, because the way I've been doing it hasn't been working. So there's a feeling of release, and I think it leads to freedom when I think of that word, surrender.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things I have known in my own life when I'm in surrender, and I'm not talking about a lifetime problem, I'm talking about even surrender of what am I going to do when I have elder parents and I have to figure out when I'm traveling, when I'm not, and sometimes to see them. And sometimes I'm like, there's other things going on. And I finally just give it up. And I'm like, I'm giving this up to the universe, let's say, mm-hmm. and tell me what it is I'm supposed to do. I give it up. And so what I'm trying to say is I have found at points of surrender in my life, the answer always arrives. It's like that aha shower moment, right? You have a problem with something going on at work or a relationship, and you're like, and you're struggling with it all day, and then you're washing your hair and boom, the answer, right? Because you're relaxed, right? Mm-hmm. You're in surrender in the shower. You're not thinking about it. You're, you know, thinking about your own hygiene and self-care. Yeah. And then, or taking a walk, right? You take a walk and get out from the problem, away from the problem. And then you are able to find the answer. What do you think about that?
Yes, I do. And I can't tell you how many times that has been true for me, right? And that is, I think that's why that feeling of acceptance in it, that I think it's the acceptance that this can't be something I solve, or I'm not the solver of this right now, or whatever. That when we get ourselves out of that situation, whatever that looks like, and kind of release it, then it can kind of work itself out sometimes, and or something greater than us can come and give us the aha moment when we're not like really pushing and forcing something or trying to control it. Maybe there might be an aha.
It reminds me actually of our working collaboration, yours and mine. I work with Liz in Greenheart Living as a, we're calling me the manuscript maven, and we meet once a week to go over the list of projects and writing, who's in a writing coaching situation. And I think we always leave room for that. We always discuss something, and if we get to a point where we don't have an answer, we'll be like, oh, let's come back to that. You know, without having to solve it, because we know that during the week, when we've put it out there to the universe, however you want to look at it, and saying, we want to really do this and we think it'll be beneficial, but we don't quite have like the tagline of a book or something. And we're like, let's walk away. And then, right, then the inspiration comes. And so for people who are listening, who are in working situations, oh, even in relationships, sometimes you don't have to solve the problem in your relationship in the first conversation. You just put it out there and then agree to come back to talk about it. Because as we know in relationships, sometimes if you try to resolve it in that first conversation, it's not very healthy. You know, you're still angry. But if the other person has a chance to come back, think about it and come back, then you can have a productive conversation. So I never thought of that as a form of surrender, but I think it is.
I know it's true with with my children. I have two teenage kids, right? So they're 15 and 16. And sometimes I'll be talking with my daughter and I'm sure that I am right and she is wrong and she needs to listen because she's my daughter, right? That's what my brain is saying. And then when I step away from it and say, you know what, we'll talk about it another time, I think about it and realize I'm wrong sometimes. I realize I've been thinking about this in a way that doesn't need to happen this way. It was just my thing about it. And then I can come back to her and say that I have a relationship with her where I can say, you know, I think I was thinking about this in a way that it didn't need to be that way. Like, I don't need to win this.
Right. And what a wonderful parenting, right? I have the same with my kids. I'll listen to them and then I'll go back and I'll be like, wow, you know, you were right. I actually love writing that to them. You were right. I was looking at this and I think I could have a different perspective on it. And I think that helps them, our children, to have much more confidence in their ability to express in relationship. You know, if they're not afraid to express their truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so again, another form of surrender, right? And yeah, not being afraid to say I was wrong. And that always, I'm laughing because people are always shocked when you do that. I was wrong and you were right. And they're like, what?
I know.
Did I hear that right? Did you actually say you were wrong? I'm like, oh yeah, I did say I was wrong. No, but it's good. So in Feast and Famine, my book about recovery, I worked with Sophia, the Divine Feminine, on that book. I'm a channeled author, as you know. And she said that pain is inevitable and suffering is an option. Surrender is required, which we just talked about that, and grace must be allowed. And I was really, first of all, I wasn't really sure I knew what grace was when I first started writing the book. What could that be? And then I didn't know why it had to be allowed. So I wanted to talk with you a little bit about that because, you know, people who surrender their story you want to be able to welcome in grace. So what do you think grace is, Liz?
Yes. Yeah, so it's funny because I know grace, the word means something very specific for certain people. I think there are some religious teachings that are related to this. And I wasn't raised in a religion that had that attachment to the word. Mm-hmm. So for me, it allows spirit in. It allows things to be easy. It allows things to flow, right? Most of my life, I've worked very hard and worked on controlling, like trying to be in control of all the things, right? And in a nice way, but control, you know, my schedule's always mapped out, you know, mm-hmm. to the half hour, right? All things mm-hmm. like that. And one thing that I'm practicing is flow for this year. My word for the year is flow. And it's that idea. It's allowing life to be easy and to have this sense of grace, like this spirit work through me, so it doesn't have to feel like hard and that I have to fix everything and I have to solve everything. I'm showing up, I'm doing things, but I don't have to be, it's not all on me. And I think a lot of us operate through life like we've got to solve all the problems of the world, right? right? I think we take a lot, which it's great to take ownership and to want to make things better. So that sense of grace for me is allowing things to work.
Yes.
Without us needing to be the ones.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about our working relationship. The way that it began was last year, I'm on Liz's email list, and she sent out an email and said, I'm sorry to say this, but I cannot take on any more writing clients until June of the following year or something. It was kind of, you were overwhelmed, right? And I wrote back and I said, what about me? Like, I'm a writing coach. I would love to help you with that. And that's how we got together. So to me, grace came in the form there of someone responding to your email. So it doesn't have to be, you know, an angel coming down from heaven and shining light on you. It can be the fact that you're open yourself up to grace, because grace is around us 24/7, every minute of every day. We're just not looking for it. Because listeners, if you open yourself up to see it, you are going to be shocked how often grace arrives. And if you begin to think of every person and every encounter, even the good, the bad, and the ugly, as grace, because sometimes it comes, you know, sometimes people are mirroring to us something that we need to learn about ourselves, right? And so that may seem ugly or not fun, but it's still grace. And so if you think of life as graceful, right, or flow, or grace-filled, you will always see that grace opportunity come through. And the other part was about allowing. Grace must be allowed, is what Sophia said. And what I came to understand is that sometimes we don't feel that we are good enough to receive grace. We have a role in our family, i.e. our story. Mm-hmm. Taking it back to our story. This is who I am. This is what my parents said. This is who I believe what my parents said. This is what society has told me. What? I'm entitled to grace? I don't think so. I've never been entitled to anything in my life. Why would grace bestow itself upon me? And so therefore, you have to be willing to allow grace in. You have to say, I am deserving of grace. And I'll take it. I'll take it in however it comes. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to have the maximum freedom and the maximum growth. And so I just lost my camera here. Hold on one sec. So I think we're going to take a break. We're going to go to break now.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Hungry for Answers. If you would like to learn more about me and my story, and all of my offerings, which it is my big story on my website, please go to clarity.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y.com. And Liz, can you share how people can reach out to you?
Yes, you can go to greenheartliving.com.
Yes.
That way.
Good. And so we've been talking about surrender your story. We started with the idea that what is your story? And it's really based on your life experiences that probably a lot of times came from trauma and suffering. And then we talked about surrender. What is that really? Because you have to, we're talking about surrendering your story. And surrender is giving it all up, but not wishful thinking. And why we want to do that is because we want to allow grace in. So we talked about what's grace and what's allowing. And so, you know, a lot of people have lived this journey where they have had something that defines them. And then they've decided that they're going to not live in the past. And they're going to embrace their sovereign life and then move onto their next chapter. And so in all of our conversations about that, we've decided to do, through Greenheart Living, a collaborative book. Some people call it an anthology, but we call it a collaborative book, and it's called Surrender Your Story. So Liz, can you talk to our listeners about what is a collaborative book?
Yes. So the collaborative books are when we have a theme, a particular topic that we want to write on, and we bring together a group of authors where all the authors write a chapter where they're sharing their story. And it's really fun to do because everyone talks from their heart, they share their wisdom, and it's a way for you to become an author without taking on the massive huge task of doing a book on your own. It's also a really, it's fun to meet other authors and to connect with each other. And it's a nice way of doing a book or tiptoeing into this idea of publishing. I do also often have people that publish and have published books that of their own, and that they want to connect with other authors, and it's a great way to network and expand your reach. So even if you've published your own book already, it can be very worthwhile to be part of collaboration.
I think so. I'm thinking two reasons. One, the first that you said, you become part of a community of like-minded people who have surrendered their stories. And that's great, because I'm sure there are many people, I mean, that have become friends, you know, beyond, you know, just being part of the community through these collaborative books. I actually know that because I did, and I see that. I was in one of the collaborative books after I had written many books, because it was just so nice to be part of that, and to be able to read the stories of my co-authors. That was very exciting. And they're all well written, you know, even so somebody could be sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm not a writer. Well, we help with that. In this particular project, I'll be your writing coach. And then we have editors. And so we'll get that story down, you know, in a way that you'll be proud of. And if you have other books, what's nice is that it draws people to your other books, which is nice. So it's a good marketing tool for your other books or for your private practice or your business, whatever you want it to be. Now, do you have to be a business person to be in our collaborative book? Absolutely not. You know, it just happens to have good business benefits. So, Liz, who would you think would be a good collaborative author for this particular collaborative book, Surrender Your Story?
Right. So who I'm looking for including in this is to have people who have done some work, some healing work around whatever their story is, right? Whatever they, if it was a traumatic event or whatever thing that they needed to do some healing around. And it could include people that do that for work. So I do, it would make a good fit for someone who, say, they worked with people around grief and loss. They had lost their mother or they had lost a child, and then they went on to becoming a grief coach or something like that, right? So that would certainly be appropriate for this. Someone that helps people with eating disorders and then moved on to helping others. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they do this professionally, right? I think that would certainly be a good fit for someone, but if someone has had, say they healed around a particular thing, then it could transform their relationships and the way that they were as a parent, right? So it can be a great fit for someone, whether they do this professionally or not. I do want people to, it doesn't matter if people feel like they can write or not. If they have a story to tell, we can help with the writing, as you were saying, or helping with edits and things like that. But I think it's important that there will be healing in this process of writing, because as we know, writing is very therapeutic and very healing. But we'd like people to have done, you know, some work on the path themselves to heal it. Yeah. So they can share that with others, what worked, you know, what has helped them heal.
And so what also happens is you'll be genuinely surprised how much more healing happens by participating in the book, because the best example for me is Feast and Famine. When I wrote it the first time, I was still in addiction from food disorders, and I got to the end of the book and I had no ending because I couldn't release a recovery book when I wasn't in recovery. So then I knew that I had to come back to it when I was in recovery. But the healing that took place in writing the book was just incredible. And so even to write one chapter and to be able to describe your past, what were you suffering over, and then to talk about the middle, about when did you want to shift and how did you shift and what did you do, right? And then to share what impact did that shift make on you and other people in your life. Like, when you really take it and synthesize it down, it's an opportunity to be extraordinarily proud of yourself too.
Yes. Right? There's definitely an element of, as people are writing and sharing their stories within the container of either working with a coach on their one-on-one book or in this collaborative book and sharing it, it gives you an opportunity to acknowledge what you've been through. Right. And how you have worked through it. And that's something that not everyone gets in regular life. Right.
Because when people come to me as to do the writing coaching, mm-hmm. I always say that, you know, when you write your book, it's about healing yourself. And when you release your book, it's about healing others. So you never have to release your manuscript. But the healing that takes place from writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
I would like everybody to think of it as writing your chapter in this collaborative book or writing a manuscript is a meditative process. Mm-hmm. And you are going inside. You're going backwards. I remember in my first book, I had a PR person say, "So what's the future of your book?" And I'm like, "I don't care. I'm so busy going back into the past to write in the present. I can't think about that right now." Of course, I thought about that later. But at the moment that they said, "What's the future?" I'm like, "Who?" I'm like, "Let's
get out of the past.
Get all that stuff." And it's funny that when we talked about surrender your story and we talked about the three elements, right? The first was, you know, what was the first one about?
First one was about releasing the power of the past, right?
Yeah.
Releasing that power that the past can have over us.
Yes. And so that's what I was doing in Messiah Within was actually getting that past and bringing it into the future so that I can look at it. I think they say hindsight is 20/20, but it allowed me to look at those parts of myself from the mature person that I am today. And that always is healing, right? When you can go back and say, "Wow, that really sucked, but it wasn't what I thought it was." Now that I've grown more, right, on my journey, I've done much more of my healing. So I would expect people in the collaboration, they're going to find a lot of insights that may not have been present before, which is a wonderful thing.
I'd love to share an example of this. I'm doing a collaborative book project, which is about all people who have had traumatic brain injuries and how they recovered from them. And one of the authors was in it. She shared at first the first draft of it. There was some anger towards people in her life who went away after she had the TBI, right? They seemed to disappear. She felt very alone. And then we, through the process of writing and the different versions of the different drafts and me providing space for her to tell the story and be with that, those feelings that came up, she recognized that she'd actually told them to leave her alone.
Oh, wow.
And that they were respecting her in a way. And she had never thought of this. This is years and years away from the TBI. And she'd been holding this resentment towards people, right?
Yes.
And she told me, she was so grateful the other day to tell me that this has changed the way that she views that she had to take some ownership for how that went down, right? Mm-hmm. And so now she also does speaking around TBIs. And now she does encourage people that, okay, when people tell you to leave them alone, maybe pester them a little bit, right? So it's, you know, maybe follow up. That might not be what they really need now, but they might not be able to communicate what they need. And so she's taken this into how she talks about it, how she helps other people in this situation. And it's created a lightness for her. It's changed relationships that she's had with her friends and family.
Yeah, and it reminds me of another book we're working on together, a book where the author's husband died early from Alzheimer's. And so she's now writing this book about her experience with early onset Alzheimer's as the caregiver. And it just reminded me of one section where She has the five A's of asking for help. And the last one is actually dot, dot, dot. So when someone would say, "Is there something I can do?" She only learned to answer them with actually, and then she had to have something for them to do. And so that became easier. "Actually, could you come over and take a walk with my husband, or actually, could you pick up milk at the store? And so this, I love that. That was like one of the favorite things I've read so far is this actually, comma, dot, dot, dot. And so she's learning more about that as she's writing the book. So it's good to have these, it's good to be part of it, because you'll also read some wonderful, wonderful collaborative, in your collaboration, some wonderful stories that others have done, and the stories will inspire you, especially we'll have group conversations, like group meetings where we're, talking. And so it'll be great. So how can listeners learn more about the collaborative book?
Yes. So we did put it up on the Green Heart Living website. So if people go to greenheartliving.com/surrender-your-story, we'll talk a little bit about what we're looking for in this. And then there is a way to apply to be part of it. And the application is also helpful for the authors to help them kind of map out, okay, what would I want to be putting in this chapter, or give you some ideas of that. So that's how they find information on it. And we also have ways to chat with both of us.
Yes. So once they fill, you can contact us, and once you fill in the application, we'll be in touch with you. We'll set up a meeting with you to learn more about your story and, to tell you more about the collaborative opportunity. All right. Well, I want to thank you for being here, Liz. Well, we're both really excited about this project. I was going to say, I think we're excited, but
we are.
We're really, here's something that we've both learned along the journey is that the right people will come into this collaborative book that will create an energy with the book that will create the healing in the world that we're trying to do at Green Heart Living. And so if you're feeling the nudge, listen to your intuition. And connect with us, because if you're meant to be in the book, you'll know it, you'll feel it. And don't let any fears about not being a good writer or, do I have the time? It's not a huge time commitment. And as I said, we have resources to help you pull the story together. Yeah. And Liz, is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
I'd like to add that the collaborative books, I counted, and now I've had 10. So this is going to be, I believe, the 12th, because I have another one coming out. So it's every time I learn so much, and it's so beyond anything I could do by myself, right? It's the books are greater than anything else, right? I can feel spirit working on them. So it's really beautiful to see what comes to be.
So if you're interested in being part of Surrender Your Story collaboration, we'll be accepting applications for our collaborators over the next month and a half. Because we're going to start writing in the summer, and then we'll publish in the fall. So you'll see yourself in print this year in 2022. So again, Liz, thank you for coming on Hungry for Answers. I appreciate you on this and every day. And we will see you all next time on Hungry for Answers. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into Hungry for Answers. Learning to love ourselves is the one true solution to addiction. Make a commitment to healing today and see how you can reach your ultimate potential. Remember, you have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.